Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for both the local church and the workplace. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
In another podcast, Jonathan, I made the comment that I feel like I've become the naysayer, the gloom bearer, the one who has all this negative news, and I don't like that. I'm a fairly upbeat person. I'm usually optimistic. I don't like being the bearer of bad news. And so in another podcast, we talk about criticism and criticism of leaders and criticism of pastors. And now we're talking about death of churches. And I really did not intend to go down this path. I'll give the little story of why this happened. We've covered in a previous podcast. But what happened is I wrote a blog post about churches dying. And I wrote the blog post, and all of a sudden it blows up. It goes all over the place, and everybody's talking about it. Everybody, of course, is an exaggerated term, but it's getting comments, and it has over 100,000 views. And it was called Autopsy of a Deceased Church. So people said expand upon it. So now I've written a book on it. They'll be released in May 2014. So I'm the bearer of talking about criticism. I'm the bearer of talking about churches being dead. Now, the topic for today is your church dying? To the best of my knowledge, that's one step away from death. People are going to stay away from me because they're going to see me with this black shroud over me and a pointed finger saying, doom, gloom is coming.
If this Lifeway thing doesn't work out, the consulting business is dead for you.
Oh, golly.
We hired Rainer? Oh, no.
We must be in bad shape.
But you did some recent research. We had Lifeway Research do some research of 1,000 Protestant pastors and asked them for their response to the question or to the statement, I am concerned that the church where I am serving is dying. And the results, they lined up with anecdotal thinking that you had before.
Well, the results were strongly agree, 7%, somewhat agree, 15%. Jonathan, I'll add those two up for
22,
you.
22.
You did it before I did. That is 22%. We have estimated that somewhere around that number are dying. And now we do the survey, and the pastors say, I think that that's dying. We said the number's around 25%. They said the number's 22%.
It's within the margin.
It is within a margin of error, and it tells me that not only are we hitting a nerve when we talk about churches dying, that it's more than anecdotal information. It's more than just a few churches who are in the doldrums. This is something that has really happened. And if one out of four churches or even one out of five churches are dying in America, we have a serious problem, and we have a problem that we cannot ignore. We must face the facts, even though the facts are not very friendly right now.
We've come to the conclusion that around 25% are dying. And you also postulate that another 25% are struggling and moving toward that possible death.
Yeah, Jonathan, that number could be as low as 25, and again, these are estimates, but it could also be as high as 40%. I would say that 40% of churches at least have some symptoms that would indicate that they are headed toward a difficult time. They're in some type of doldrums that would eventually lead them to the dying category.
So if nearly half of the churches in America are either struggling or dying, the question begs, you know, how do you fix it? And how do you determine if my church is one of those dying churches? So we have the five questions that you listed in a recent blog post. Number one, has worship attendance declined in at least 7 of the past 10 years?
Every time I use numbers, particularly attendance numbers, I can count on someone responding, it's not all about the numbers.
And they're right. But
they're absolutely
right.
It is
a lot of times about the numbers.
Numbers are one indicator. We take blood pressure readings for a reason. It's not that the readings are the summation of what's wrong. It's what's behind the readings. If blood pressure is too high, we may have a problem. We take thermometer readings. If your temperature is 103 or 104, you are very sick. It's not that that number in itself is intrinsically valuable. Now, here's the same thing with attendance. Attendance is not the ultimate measure. to use kind of another phrase, is penultimate or next to ultimate. But attendance is measuring something. It's measuring, number one, how many people think the church is important enough to gather, and number two, how much those people will frequent the church who are coming on a somewhat regular basis. So it measures not only people who are coming, but the frequency of attendance as well. That is an indicator of church health. I would surmise that if the attendance of a church got to zero, it would probably be an unhealthy church, even though people would not like numbers.
Yeah, and there are ways that a church can decline in attendance, but usually those are for really healthy reasons, like they're planting churches and sending out members. I mean, your son Jess is on a church plant that came out of a local church here in town who dropped by 100 members whenever they sent out those 100 to another local church. That is not a sign of unhealthiness by the local church that sent them.
No, and you would know.
But they did have that numerical thing, so you just can't go on numbers alone, like
you
said.
But you would know that in 2013, the Clearview Baptist Church sent out over 100 people.
Yep.
So when you're looking at attendance numbers, you remember that. So yeah, those will always be factors. But if in a vacuum, if a church has declined 7 of the last 10 years, and again, you need to know the community growth rate.
Uh-huh.
That is a big issue. But if it has, all other things being equal, it's probably in trouble.
And the second point is that the budget giving has declined in 7 of the past 10 years.
Now, if someone does not like attendance numbers, they probably don't like budget numbers as well. Now we're getting to what they call the nickels and noses. We're counting the noses and we're counting the nickels, and those are not really the things that matter. That is correct. Absolute dollar giving is not the major issue. What is the issue is, how much do people see the stewardship of the church to be vital to their lives? What difference are they making in their giving? It's more the heart of the person than the dollars that are giving. Budget giving declining 7 of the past 10 years is an indicator. It's something that we can say there might be a path we can walk down. It's not absolutely important, but if you have worship attendance declining 7 of the past 10 years, budget giving declining in at least 7 of the past 10 years, I would surmise that we need to look behind these symptoms to some of the causes.
Now, the 7 out of 10 years, is that just to have a good sample size instead of maybe just a 1 or 2 year apparition?
Yeah, 10 years is always, when I did consulting, we would always do 10 years. And really, if it's 5 out of 10, you probably have an issue, but you know you have an issue once it passes the majority of a decade, and so we come back. Now, here's what we're looking at. We're saying that this is symptomatic. It would be very much like the physician taking your temperature or measuring your blood pressure. Here are symptoms. These are not causation. We want to know the causes behind these symptoms. Therefore, we look at these to see if there are causes that might tell us that the church is on its way to death.
What could some of those causes be?
Could be a failure to reach out, to obey the Great Commission. It could be that there is so much conflict within the church that people not even thinking beyond themselves. It could be the comfort factor, which I think is endemic in many churches today, that we are comfortable for church being for us and not for them outside. It could be a number of things. We know something's wrong. We got to find the reason why.
The causes and the ways to get away from those causes and improve them sound awful familiar to I Am a Church Member.
Yeah, the book I Am a Church Member talks about what it means to be a part of God's church. And basically what we do in I Am a Church Member is we say the Bible says it's not about us, it's about serving. It's not about what we get, it's about what we give. It's not about our comforts and preferences, it's about our sacrificial attitude. So you're exactly right. A church that forms that type of biblical membership is a church that's more likely experiencing health.
The third question that you listed was, does my church look more like the community or less like the community than it did 10 years ago?
Let's suppose that you're an Anglo church, and in that Anglo church, when it was, say, started 30 years ago, the population of the defined community, whether it's several blocks or a mile or so, the population was about 95% Anglo. Let's suppose then it becomes a transition community, and you look back and it's 40% Hispanic, 20% African American, and then 40% other. The community has had dramatic change in that time. Now let's look inside that church during that period. What does it look like? If it's still all Anglo, the church has not transitioned with the community.
And it's likely declined. as a result.
It is likely to decline because it's no longer drawn from the base of the community. What has happened that there, in this particular example, there has been white flight. People have left the community. They still, a number of them still drive to the church, but the community is different than the church because the church doesn't represent the community. And the community has no thought of coming to that church because it's their church, not our church.
It's the people who used to live here's church.
That's right.
Not the people who live here now.
Yeah, we bought our homes from them or from their another generation. Whatever it may be, it is not the community it used to be.
The fourth question listed is, are church conflicts significantly more frequent today than past years?
First, we must acknowledge that conflicts are normal. In a family, in a church, you're never going to have everybody agreeing with everything. Sometimes conflict can be healthy if it is done in a biblical way. But if conflicts are protracted, if a church is in a season of ongoing conflicts, if a church is fussing more than it is obeying the Great Commission, and it's happening more and more frequently, you can be assured that that church is not reaching beyond herself. You can be assured that that church is not obeying the Great Commission or the Great Commandment to any great extent, and therefore it is focused on getting things my way, the two sides of the conflict, rather than how can I serve God through this church?
The fifth and final question you listed is your church's budget decreasing its focus on reaching and ministering to others beyond the church?
One of the frightening exercises to do if you're in a church is to be honest with where the money of the church is going. To look at the total giving of the church and to say how much of this is truly being used beyond the needs of church members. Now, hear me well. Church members deserve ministry. Church members deserve resources. Church members need them. I'm not saying that all the money should go beyond the church. However, if you look over time and the church's budget has more and more been moved inwardly for the needs of the members rather than outwardly for outreach, missions, church planting, anything beyond the church, you can be assured that this church is not nearly as healthy as it was. Is it dying? Maybe not, but it's definitely in a bad health state that if it doesn't change will lead to a bad or worse health.
Now, both you and I were in a meeting last week with Will Mancini.
Right.
And in the meeting, he discussed the fact that a lot of mega churches now are moving away from the big, large building programs and spending tens and tens of millions of dollars on buildings and becoming, in his words, we're better stewards of that money and putting it more into ministry than into buildings. And that seems to kind of go in line with what you're talking about here in number five.
I think that that is the influence of the millennial generation. My generation, the boomer generation, was a generation that for good or bad introduced the larger building. And I don't want to knock on larger buildings because we have some great churches with large buildings.
Yes.
But I simply want to acknowledge that this millennial generation has come along and they have said, let's spend more of our money doing ministry inside and outside the church, and let's have more services on more days as one possibility. Let's send out more people and start churches, and let's have satellite or multi-campus churches as well, so we won't be dependent on the single large building and the resources that are required for that.
Because of those large buildings also bring a lot of times large debt, and that just eats up the budget of the church.
They require resources of some kind or another. You have to pay for them either through cash, which would be the giving of the church persons, or debt, and that get the giving of those church members then has to pay off the debt.
So if a pastor out there is listening and they hear these questions and look at the blog post and they say three or four of those five are me, what's their response?
Actually, we're hearing a lot of that, and that's why we're writing about it.
That's at 25%.
That's why we're talking about it. And it may be 25%, but I think there's another 25% that's saying we're close and we really want to listen in very carefully. Let's be honest. Let's look at the facts and let's don't deny them. The American church, or let's American churches, by and large, are in trouble. Only about 10% of churches are really growing or growing faster than the community in which they're located. Now, growth in, again, is not the ultimate measure. But by almost any admission, churches are not as healthy as they once were. There are exceptions. There are notable exceptions. So something has taken place where American churches are becoming more comfortable. The members are. They're becoming more complacent. They're becoming more inwardly focused, and they're becoming more conflict focused. And so pastors, church members, other leaders within the church are asking the question, what do I do to reverse this? Well, I would say basically that there are two large approaches. One of them, it seems like we keep on mentioning I am a church member, but one of them is to begin to address to new members what it means to be a part of the church when someone comes into the church. Start with those that are new. And then gradually move your church, and whatever that may mean. It may mean going out into the community and doing ministry. It may mean some type of outreach program. Whatever that may mean, look beyond yourself. Start focusing beyond yourselves. Those two acts, making certain that members come in, understand what church membership really means, and secondly, moving beyond yourself, will move the churches in a more healthy way to look beyond themselves. And I believe that at least, if it's done prayerfully, will be the beginning of greater health in churches.
So today we talked about the characteristics of churches that are dying or moving toward death. How does that relate to the new book you've got coming out in May, Autopsy of a Deceased Church?
Well, let's go back to the beginning. We said that 22% of pastors either strongly agree or somewhat agree that they are concerned that their church is dying. Now, why are they concerned their church is dying? No one likes the process of dying, but ultimately dying leads to what? Death.
Yes.
And so what I did in autopsy, whereas here we're looking with church, looking at churches that still have the front door open. In autopsy, we're looking at churches that have already closed the doors. And we're asking the question, what happened in your church? Why did it get to this point? What would you have done differently? In other words, we're looking at these deceased churches and we're performing a figurative autopsy and we're trying to find out, like the dying churches, what took place. Not so that we can be morbid, not so that we can have some type of CSI show, but because we want to find out what caused the churches to die so that we can prevent it in the future. One of the things, Jonathan, that encourages me about some of the paths that we're taking, talking about negative issues such as criticism, talking about dying, talking about the death of churches, is we're asking the question, why? We're not denying reality. And when we ask that question why, we begin to get answers. Hopefully, answers that God has given us and not just man-made answers of our own. And once we begin to answer the question why, we can discern some of the things that we need to do differently. I'll say this, though, and I want all pastors to hear this and all leaders and members of churches. When churches are experiencing some of these symptoms that may lead to death or certainly could be called that are in the dying category, turnaround is not easy. It usually did not happen overnight. It usually cannot be reversed overnight. But I recently wrote a blog post about some characteristics of these dying churches, and some of the more gratifying responses were, not a lot of them, but were from pastors who said, my church was just like you described, but we turned it around, and here's what God did. It is possible, but we're bringing up these subjects because we are pleading with the church leaders to face reality that they may take a difficult situation and in God's power turn it around.
Now, if there's a pastor listening to this today and he recognizes that he is pastoring one of these dying churches, what are your personal words of encouragement to him?
First of all, God is not done with him. God is not done with his church. Secondly, start looking at reality. Look at yourself as a leader in the mirror. Look at your church. And third, start taking incremental steps to have your church look beyond itself. It may not be something that you can do in a radical fashion, but you can do so incrementally. Be faithful and then see what God will do.
This week's podcast has been brought to you by Ministry Grid, a leadership training platform that launched earlier this month. MinistryGrid.com hosts over 1,500 videos, including more than 200 free videos and training for all aspects of ministry. For more information and to check out everything that Ministry Grid has to offer, visit MinistryGrid.com. That'll do it for this week's podcast episode. Dr. Rainer, any final closing thoughts?
I've said it more than one time. I love pastors. I love leaders of churches. I love church members. And I want the best for them, and I want the best for their churches. And as we talk about these difficult issues, it's my prayer that we will find good that can come out of the bad. And that is my prayer for this podcast today.
Thanks for joining us again this week on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at TomRainer.com.